أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين سيما بقية الله في الأرضين ولعن الله أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. One of the very critical lessons that we can learn from the life of all of our imams, especially with the Battle of Karbala, with the journey of Imam Hussein, with the revolution of Abu Abdullah, is the concept of divine trials and tribulations and what to do when one is blessed with the divine trials. In order for us to understand what is the meaning of bala, fitna, as it has been used in Quran, when it comes to trials of mankind. In order to understand those, we have to understand what is the meaning of good and bad. Oftentimes, the barometer that we have for good and bad is very much self-centered. Things which are apparently good for us, we say that they are definitely beneficial, this is something that we want. Those things which are catering to our selfish interests. And naturally, things which are not serving our selfish interests, we consider them bad. However, when we look at Quran, and when we look at the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find that at times that's not necessarily the case. It says in Quran in Surah Baqarah, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيَّا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيَّا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. That oftentimes you might be disgusted by something, but that is good for you. And at times, you love something, and that might be bad for you. That might be shar for you. And Allah knows, and you don't. Even though we understand this concept, we have seen this concept manifest in our lives throughout the years that we pass in this mortal world. But yet we fail to grasp the true meaning behind good and bad as we grow older. Taking, for example, when the baby is born, when the infant is born, the parents make sure that the baby goes through certain vaccination. And when you ask the child if he could talk or if she could talk, they would definitely not like the piercing that is being done on them. They would not like the vaccine, the shot, because it is painful. And we know it's painful because the sign of being in pain is the person cries. And as soon as the shot is injected in the baby, they start crying. But we as a parent, we know that this pain is beneficial for him in future. It is going to protect him. It is going to be the shield for him. And in fact, we know that it is good for him. And that is why we are more than willing to put our child through that pain in order for his better future. So this is one example where we know that apparently the thing might be bad for the individual, but it is really good. And at that time, the person is not understanding, like the baby is not understanding how good it is for him to get vaccinated. But eventually, he or she will realize that it was because of that vaccine that he was protected from different kind of diseases. When I talk about the what is good for us and what is bad, we don't, as mentioned, that we don't understand, and it is mostly based on the on our interests. There is this incident or a story anecdote that a father had two daughters. One of them was married to a person who used to make pots made of clay. The other daughter was married to someone who was who used to take care of farms, who was a farmer basically. This one day he decided to visit both of his daughters. So the father visited his daughter who was married to the farmer first, and of course after asking well-being, the daughter asked her father to pray that may Allah bring down rain so that the crops can cultivate, so that the husband, all the hard work that he is doing, the plants will get water, the crops will get water, and eventually it will be beneficial for them. He said, I'll pray. Then he was on his way towards the house of his second daughter, who was married to the person who used to make pots out of clay. And after, of course, meeting them as he was leaving, his daughter, his other second daughter, asked him, "Oh Baba, please pray that may Allah does not send down rain, because my husband has made pots made out of clay, and if it rains, then it is going to destroy all of his hard work." And of course, at that time, the person realized how beautiful it is that Allah knows what to do, when to do, and how to do it. And we know, we don't know, and Allah knows. So at times, rain might be a cause of blessing for someone, and other times it is a source of calamity for somebody else. It just depends on our selfish interest. But when we start putting our faith on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would know that whatever is coming from Allah, since He is all good, it can never be bad. We might not understand it, but it is good. And the reason we are not understanding it is because of the fact that we are selfish in nature. We tend to determine and evaluate good and bad based on the self-interest. The divine trials are like the presents, the gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is a philosophy behind it. One cannot say that, okay, well, if I have a choice, I don't want to be tested. You are going to be tested regardless. You cannot say, I don't want to be tested. This is one of those things that's not in your control. You are going to be tested. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. And it is going to be hard. It is going to be difficult. And we know, and this phenomena of going through troubles in order to get the best of the reward, is something that we are very used to of in our materialistic world. We know that for the most part, if you are not inherited, if you are going through the right way, you are going to have to work hard in your class in order to get best of the grades. You would have to study hard in order to get to the good university, in order to get, you would have to work extremely hard in order to get a good job, in order to climb the ladder in the corporate. We know all of that. So the general principle is very well known, that you would have to work hard, you would have to go through difficulties in order to get the best of the reward. So for the believers, it becomes easier that they will have to go through certain trials and tribulations in order to receive the best of the rewards in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوءِ وَالنُّقْصِ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, that you will be tested with the things that you fear. There are five things that are mentioned over here. Things that you fear, with hunger, with reduction of your wealth, with the gardens, with your lives. And it says that give the glad tidings to the sabireen. The ayah that is followed by this, the series of ayahs are very interesting in Quran. It starts off with, before this ayah, it starts off with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَخُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتَ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَاكِ اللَّا تُشْعَرُونَ. Then, again, do not call those who are killed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as they are dead, but they are alive, but you know not. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا نَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوِي وَالنُّقْسِ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Then the ayah that follows it, it says, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. When the affliction befalls on them, they say that certainly we are from Allah and we will return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Talking about those who are sabireen, who are sabireen in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are sabireen when it comes to the trials and tribulations. And it says, the ayah that follows, it's basically the punchline. It says, أُولَيْكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سَلْوَاتٌ مِّنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَالرَّحْمَةٌ وَأُولَيْكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. So first, do not call people who are killed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will be tested, then those who are afflicted with the trials, they say that إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the reward. أُولَيْكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سَلْوَاتٌ مِّنْ رَبِّهِمْ, that those are the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending his salawat, his salutations on. وَأُولَيْكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ, and those are the ones who are the guided ones. So, the tests are going to be there. There are a couple of stages. One is to understand that we are in the state of test, and we are always in the state of test. Second is to understand what is my responsibility. Okay, one thing is being tested. Of course, that is an honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has considered you to be worthy enough to put you through test, then realizing that, you know, I am, what is my responsibility, understanding what is the responsibility during the test. Oftentimes, unfortunately, we are not able to recognize our, what we call wazifa. We are not able to understand what our responsibility, what is our obligation in this test. And because of lack of understanding, and again, it's linked with basira. Oftentimes, you might realize that you are being tested with the afflictions and the tribulations of life, but you just fail to recognize what your responsibility is. At times you're supposed to speak out, but you feel like the responsibility at this time during this test is to stay quiet, and vice versa. At times you are supposed to stay quiet, but you think that you are supposed to be vocal. So understanding the wazifa during the time of test is extremely important. It should not be based on my personal inclinations. I should not be catering to my personal inclination and start naming it that this is my religious obligation at the time of the trial. What do I mean? Naturally, I am, for example, a generous person. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted everyone with different blessings. Some people are gifted with being generous. They're naturally generous. And they start saying that everything that they do, everything that is happening to them is based on they recognize their obligation based on their personal inclination. So the need of the time might be that they should be investing their time, spending their time to propagate Islam. But because they don't want to get out of their comfort zone, because their personal inclination is only towards giving charity, they'll be like, no, my obligation, my wazifa at this time is to give charity. And they'll justify it to themselves and to others as well. This person is not filling the void, as we mentioned yesterday. This person is just fulfilling their personal inclination. There might be a time for taqiyya, but you might run into a person who is just being vocal and pretty much destroying all the plans, all the strategies of Muslim world, but vice versa as well. You might have the time, the era would be the era of Khaybar. The era would be the golden era of Islam. The era would be for you to propagate Islam, the true Islam. But because personal inclination is towards being timid, being fearful, having the fear of someone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it's not fear for oneself, but thinking that people might not be ready, thinking that maybe people will not understand the message, and hence you start holding back on the right message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ وَخْشَوْنِي فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِي. But because their personal inclination, and because of understanding that people might not be ready, because of the fear of people, that what will people say if we were to present the true message of Islam at this particular time, they adopt to taqiyya. Again, it is an integral part. What I'm saying over here is one has to be really careful. All the points that we have mentioned, basira is required. Understanding how to fill up the void, what is the void, is required in the time of tests. So once you have realized the second step, that you have realized that what is my obligation at this during this particular test, now comes the time of action. Whether or not I am willing to go through the test, whether or not I'm willing to pass the test, how much effort am I going to put in order to pass this test with flying colors? It's not easy. Allah in Quran says, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ السَّرَّاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَالزُّلْزِلُ حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. This particular ayah in Quran gives me goosebumps. Allah Ta'ala says that, do you think you will just enter the gardens, you'll enter Jannah without going through what the people before you went through? He says that they were afflicted with trials and tribulations and difficulties, so much so that it shook them. It shook them. And the Prophet, their Prophet, and the people who were believers who were with the Prophet, they said, "Mata Nasrullah, where is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah. Allah qareeb." But yes, the help is there, the help is coming, it's near. So it's not that easy. And you don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. Pretty simple. Like you say that you don't want to be tested, you are. You don't have a choice. And to be very blunt, if somebody does not want to be tested, you know, there's only one option: to give life back to whoever it belongs to. And of course, this is also another test, because you can't do that. You are going to be tested. How is one tested? The level, the intensity of tests, it's based on the willingness and determination to gain or to get closer to the purpose and the goal of the creation, which is to gain proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much do you want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much are you willing to give up to gain, to drown in that ocean of love of the beloved? How much are you willing to do? The more willing you are, the severer your tests are going to be. People are tested based on the levels of their faith. That is why we have in Ahadith that the most severe of the tests are for the prophets. Then Wali, then Mumineen, based on their hasana, based on their noble acts. It's one thing to just read about the stories of the prophets and their tests. And pretty much just pass through them, use them as nighttime stories. It's another thing to understand what they really went through. When we read about the trial that Prophet Ibrahim went through, we quickly breeze through the incident that he was told by, he was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after waiting years to get a child, when he was finally blessed with Prophet Ismail, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him to leave his wife and his infant in the middle of the desert and to go back and resume his prophetic mission. We can't say that those were the prophets and we are just normal human beings, because they were going through the same thing in much more intensity that we oftentimes go through. Then after years of separation, when he was finally reunited with Lady Hajra and Prophet Ismail, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests him again, saying that you need to sacrifice the son of yours in my way. The test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purifies you with these tests. And only if we had the barometer of evaluating what's good and what's bad, if we had that right, we would be content with the tests and trials that befell on us. It's all about having that barometer right. The barometer which can evaluate what is good and what is bad. Who are we to decide what's good and what's bad for us? Do we know anything? Do we know what is a term good means? Do we know what is a term bad means? Only the originator of those terms, of those concepts, of those phenomena can tell us what is good and what is bad. And it says in one of the traditions that Allah sends down calamities and trials and difficulties on the believers faster than the raindrops from the sky. And can we expect anything bad from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can we expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give something to human beings, to the believers, which is not good for them? You will be tested with your wealth and your children. Those are two things that are known as fitna in Islam or in Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that just entering in Quran, entering in Jannah is not easy. It's not. It says in another ayah, أَمَّ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمُ اللَّهَ جَاهِدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَلِيَعْلَمُوا الصَّابِرِينَ. And do you think you will just enter Jannah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not find out who is struggling in the way of Allah and who are sabireen? They will be filtered. We will be filtered, and we will be filtered through trials and tribulations. Imam Hussein, there's a reason that when we look at the journey of Imam Hussein, we find nothing but tests and trials. Recognizing one's wazifa, obligation during those tests and trials, and passing those tests and trials with the flying colors. And if we are not able to gain this concept from Karbala, from Ashura, from Imam Hussein, that how are we supposed to react during the time, during the times of the test, during the times of tribulations, then know that we have not gained anything. What are we supposed to do? What are we complaining for? If only one was to realize that our own lives do not belong to us. We do not belong to ourselves. We don't own anything. Everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything shall return to Him. When something is not even mine, how can I complain about it? Just to spell it, sometimes you have to spell things out. If you were to give $5 to a child and say that, well, these $5 are for you, and then you ask him, can you give me a dollar? And then he says, no, I don't want to give you the dollar. How absurd that does that sound? How absurd does that sound? You are giving someone $5. That person knows that you are the one who gave him $5, but then he does not want to give you a part of it. This is how we are. Our children, they are not our children. It's an amana from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us the children. So they are not us. And if he takes them away, and we complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it wasn't yours to begin with. It wasn't yours to begin with. Again, understanding, truly understanding the concept of trials and tribulations. This is why Imam Hussein, when after everything, all he wanted is for his Lord, his Rabb, to be content with him, to be pleased with him. It is regarding the people who are following the footsteps of Imam Hussein. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, radiyallahu anhu wa radu anh, dhalika liman khashiya rabbah. That they are pleased with Allah and Allah is pleased with them. And these are the people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They truly fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they only fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not afraid of losing anything. They're not afraid of losing anyone, because they truly believe that nothing belongs to them and everything belongs to Allah, and everything shall return to Allah. There is no other existence that's even worth talking about, that's even worth mentioning, other than the only real existence that's out there, which is the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once one is immersed in this phenomenon, that there is only one existence, there is no one, everything else is non-existent, everyone else
does not exist. Nobody exists but the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you get to that concept, when you get to that belief, that's when you understand the beauty of trials and tribulations. Trials and tribulations are not bad for you. Trials and tribulations are gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take you closer to the purpose of your creation, which is to gain proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is to get to the level of completion, which is to get to the level of perfection. This is the concept of trial and tribulation. Because the more in love are we going to be with our own lowly selves, the farther away are we going to be to comprehend the concept of trials and tribulations. It says in Quran, at times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something and even up until now, we think that it's bad for us. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالَ وَهُوَ كَرٌّ لَكُمْ. When you were written about fighting the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you were disgusted by it. We don't understand. Fighting. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عليكم أنفسكم. Your own selves. Taking care of your own selves. It is obligatory upon you to have little bit of recognition about the self. What is self? Self, which is excluded from the real existence, is non-existent. You can only be considered when you are connected with the existence that is out there. If you're not connected with the existence, then you're non-existent. And through trials and tribulations, you can get connected with the existence. Only if we are able to understand that what's not in your control, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nothing but khair. The tests are khair. Even the Azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the manifestation of His love. If someone is really struggling in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and God forbid he has made some mistakes, he had made some sins, he has been involved in some sins, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting him through certain difficult situation, it is for his cleansing. It is for his cleanliness. It is in order for him to be purified. As we know that in order to get to a decent level, in order to get to a place where you can be recognized, you have to go through certain trials. You have to go through difficulties. The gold, before becoming gold, it goes through the whole process of burning. The coals are burned in order to make diamond out of them. It is a natural phenomena. It is a natural phenomena. Is it easy to sacrifice your 6 month old to have the blood of your 6 month old infant in your hand and still be pleased? Still asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you? Those who have children, those who remember how their children were like when they were a few months old. You will realize, you know that just a little bit of pain on those infants can cause you so much grief. Because they're not able to communicate their pain. As a parent, you feel for them. You don't know. You feel, you get in the state of vulnerability because you don't know what is bothering your infant when he just keeps crying. When he just keeps wailing, you don't know what is it that's bothering him. Because he's not able to communicate. But just like the adults, the infant of this family were extremely phenomenal. Though the children cannot communicate, but when Imam Hussain raised the slogan, raised the call of who is there to help him? Hal min Nasir yansurni, Hal min Nasir yansurni. There was shouting and wailing that started coming from the tents of Imam Abdullah. Imam Hussain goes back, ask his sister, what is it that's going on? Why is it that y'all are shouting? Why is it that y'all are wailing? Ladies, they have informed him that ever since you made that call, the 6 month old has been restless. And he hasn't had water in a while. He hasn't had milk in a while. Imam Hussain at that time takes Hazrat Ali Asghar towards the battlefield. He addresses the enemies, he addresses the army, that if you are after my blood, if you have already decided that my blood, shedding my blood is obligatory upon you, what is the fault of this 6 month old infant? Can he not get a sip of water? Through divine knowledge, Imam Hussain knew what was going to happen. But it was yet another opportunity for those who could just with this noble act of giving water to this 6 month old could save their hereafter. The address was so strong. The speech was so strong, it got the enemies all emotional. The army of Umar ibn Sa'd, there was turbulence in that army. People started crying, even the enemies started crying. They started asking Umar ibn Sa'd to give him some water. It's not, there's no fault of the 6 month old. Over here, I would like to point out one thing for the mourners of Abu Abdullah. My brothers, my sister, just the tears themselves are not going to do anything for us. The enemies, those who were fighting Abu Abdullah, they were also crying. The person who came to snatch the earrings of Bibi Ruqayya, he was also crying. They were committing atrocities and oppression, and they were still crying. But it seems like just the tears themselves are not going to do it. If the tears are not followed by the practical actions to help the Imam of the time, those tears don't mean anything. When Umar ibn Sa'd saw that there is some disturbance in the army of Yazid, there's a disturbance in the army of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, he ordered the most wretched person, Harbala. He ordered him to cut off the sermon of Abu Abdullah, in other words, to kill the innocent infant. Harbala, with a three pierced arrow, he shot the arrow. The arrow pierced through the throat, the little throat of Mawla Ali Asghar, the six-month-old child of Imam Hussein. It is narrated by Imam Baqir. Imam Baqir said that Imam Hussein threw the blood of Hazrat Ali Asghar in the sky, and not even a drop came back. Not even a drop of that blood came back. Abu Abdullah is in this situation. He doesn't know how to take this dead body back to the tent. Imagine what Abu Abdullah must have been going through at this time. How can he take this baby back to his mother? It is mentioned, Abu Abdullah walked towards the tent, he would come back, he would walk again, and then he would come back. He did it seven times, he did not know. How would he present? There are multiple things that are going on with Abu Abdullah. What is the grave of losing the infant? What is seeing the ummah of his grandfather being at this stooped and so low that they are not even caring about the infant? One problem is, how would he present this dead body to his mother? This is God of putting the 6 month old to the martyrdom. It's something that pierced the hearts of the believers of the borders of Abu Abdullah till the day of Qiyamah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our humble effort, to accept our humble mourning. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inflict maximum pain and wrath and punishment on the killers of Abu Abdullah, on those oppressors who inflicted atrocities on Abu Abdullah, on those oppressors who continued to inflict atrocities on the followers of Abu Abdullah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the reappearance of Imam so that he can avenge. So that he can avenge the blood of Abu Abdullah. Aina talibu bin Abdul Karbala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our Imam from the troubles and from the deception of the Ummah. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect Imam's deputy, Imam Khabidai, from all the evils, to prolong his life I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us supporters of Imam, to include us amongst the helpers of Imam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect all the revered scholars, especially Sayyid Ali Sistani. May Allah prolong his life, grant him health. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect the holy shrines, to protect those who are defending the holy shrines. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to stop and block the way of those who are plotting against Islam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect the respect and sanctity of Islam, respect and sanctity of the believers. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.